Accession number 9955, reel 2.
Mr. Calvert, reel 2. After you joined up, what happened then immediately then? You take the King's Shilling, what did you do then?
We were kept in plain clothes until we could be fitted with khaki. And we had to live at home, and they paid us 3 shilling a day.
So immediately after you signed up, you were sent back home?
Yes, and he went to the barracks then every day for drilling, yes, and route march and all that.
I'll come to your training, but when you got home, what did you say to your family?
First thing was, where have you been? That was from my father. So I told him I'd joined the army. After a pause, he said, well, you've made your bed. That's it. And there were tears from me mother. I shouldn't have done it. I said, well, I think I like it. So it settled down.
What about your sisters and brother?
Oh, they had to go with my parents, what they thought, I suppose.
There was no talk of them getting you, because they could have got you back out as underage. Was there any talk of doing that?
I told them not to. I said, no, I'd prefer to stay, and if you'd got me out, I should probably go somewhere else, up in the Navy.
And they respected that then?
Yes.
What about your friends,
Well, they thought, I suppose I was trying to show I was a man before I was a boy, a youth, sort of thing. No, it didn't make any difference.
Did any of them think of joining up, or were they not big enough?
They weren't big enough to have passed.
What about work?
Well, that automatically had finished.
Were they upset?
I've no idea, I never went near for a long time.
So when did you have to report back to the barracks? It was Bellevue Barracks, was it?
Every morning.
What time would you have to report?
Oh, any time. Prayer would be 9:30 or 10 o'clock. You'd finish after lunch.
So it's just half a day's training?
Yes, they didn't know what to do with us. There were so many. There were no room hardly for drilling on the square.
What sort of drilling did you do?
Form 4s, as it was, and left turn and about turn and right turn. Then when rifles arrived, rifle drill.
When did rifles arrive?
A week or two after.
Not long then?
No, not long.
Had you got the uniform
by
then?
Yes, in a week I was in uniform and...
Can you describe the uniform? What you got issued? The first one?
Was the khaki jacket, with sight pockets here, and then trousers, socks, putties, heavy marching boots, cap, badge, the brass numerals for on your shoulder strap, and a great coat. Heavy overcoat.
What about other kit?
No other kit. Because you were living at home. So all you had is to come on parade with.
How did you get on with putties? Because they're not easy, are they?
No. Practice. You do a lot of practicing to get them just right. Then you knew exactly how many turns you had on each leg. They were awkward, but they supported you. Very, very supporting kind of, more or less, better than thick stockings for the support they gave you.
When you got the rifle, was it the usual Shortley Enfield?
No, it was a Lee Metford, South African. A Lee Metford. They were very short with the Lee Enfield, short Lee Enfield, very, very short. There was only the regular army abroad were being issued with them.
You mean there weren't many of them?
No, the supply, they couldn't supply them fast enough. And
you said you did rifle drill. What exactly was that at this early stage in September?
Well, it was shoulder arms, present arms, fix bayonets, and just the usual infantry rifle drill.
So you weren't taught how to shoot at this time?
Only about once a week when they could fit you in. They had a tripod with a rifle on, and they had it fixed on the bull's eye, as it should be, and then you went and had a and got fair knowledge then regarding just what you had to sight a rifle on, you see, with the foresight and the backsight. And from then you had to get to know the wind, move it for wind either from your left or your right, guess how many details which were marked you had to move it, thus to throw the shot if the wind were coming this way, you see, you'd have to go out in it. That was the sort of rifle drilling I got.
Did you actually fire it then?
No.
So it was just sighting?
There was no ammunition. Only dummies for loading and unloading. Although, no, it was very, very scarce with all that sort of stuff.
Did you practice maintaining your rifle?
Well, they gave us an idea how to put the pull through, a little brass part with a cord on, and you put the 2x4, as I called it, on the end, and with a touch of oil or whatever, and you used to pull it through. But they trained you not to pull it either that way, that way, that. It had to be a direct pull, otherwise constant pull in there, you could make the barrel probably not as accurate as it should have been. Even that would tend to spoil it. And just the general upkeep of it. But I don't think they were ever fired from.
Was there anything else you did in these sessions?
Just to march around the town about once a week with a band, the military band. They had to, on a recruiting march, trying to get more, and they used to fall them in civilian clothes at the back and march them to the barracks and sweat them in.
What was your reception as you marched through Bradford?
Very good. Crowded, clapped and cheered and all that. So,
how did you feel?
I thought, well, I'm doing the job now.
So you were quite proud?
Yes, I enjoyed it. I was, yes.
Did many join as a result of the recruiting parade?
Sometimes 20, 30 would be behind, yes. Chaps used to be calling out to the mate, come on, John or Joe, come on, get in and let's join up with you. Come on, and that's right, especially if they had some drink. That brought them in the afternoon. It were laughable.
Now, you were only there in a day. But you were getting your first experience of army discipline, I suppose.
Yes.
And a bit of, you know, what life was going to be like. How did you react to your first experience of being under discipline like that?
I liked it. I liked it to be told what I had to do, because there was a reason for doing it. And that was the way, later on I realised, that was the best training you could have. And
That's funny, because she didn't like being told, go and fetch this, go and fetch that.
No.
By your employer. What
no,
was
I didn't.
The difference, do you think?
Well, it was a dirty job, the other one. Your hands were always greased, full of grease. And then there was the smell of the metal being turned. There was always various other things, and I didn't like the machinery. I was always frightened I might get caught up in it. And also that big gas engine, having to switch it on every morning. I didn't, because it once backfired, you'd be thrown, probably, if you weren't quick enough. You know, instead of going, sorry, I was scared of it. Then I got my hand in a drilling machine in the belt. Got it caught at the top. And this one, I was changing the belt. And I was trying to, you know, for speed, there's three pulleys, different speeds. I was changing it to a lower speed. It just nipped my fingers, and I thought that was another reason.
So you were being told what to do in your firm, but the things you were being told what to do you didn't like, whereas
That's
you quite
right.
liked what you were being told to do in the army. Then.
Yes, I did. Yes.
How did you get on with the other new recruits?
Very friendly. All together, friends, and used to help one another.
In what way?
Well, if a chap had been on the rifle, you had to, after you'd viewed it, you see it was knocked away, and you had to reset it. And they'd give you some tips, what best ways to get it going right quick, so as you didn't waste too much time and get the sergeant annoyed with you. And that. Oh, lots of tips they used to pass on. Drilling.
Did you meet with any of them socially in the evenings, because you weren't in?
No, there were a canteen there, but I never went in. As soon as that finished, I went home.
How about the NCOs? Were they the ones in charge of your training, or was it the officers?
It was the NCOs.
And were they new as well, or were they old soldiers?
No, they'd been in. Some of them had been in for 2 or 3 years, and had been away to Strensel and various other camps. And then, as soon as war broke out, there was a call made for all ex-soldiers to rejoin. And they made them sergeants straight away as instructors, to pass on to you the knowledge they had. So you got a lot of instructors that way.
And what were these men like? Were they sympathetic in the way they trained you in this first camp, or in this first?
Yes, they were very easygoing with you, and knew you were fresh, and everything was new. And they tried to take you by stages. There wasn't any bullying or anything like that. I think we had one regular officer, a kind of oversee the training. I think we'd won. Mind you, all the officers were wool men. They're all wool merchants in Bradford, the officers.
Territorials.
In fact, I have the book of the 1st 6th West Yorkshire Regiment. I have the history book of it. Gives all the names and photographs of them.
Now, how long did this go on? I believe in October you went off, isn't it? So you'd be there?
Just about 6 weeks.
So it'd be middle to late October.
Yes. Then I was sent to York. A number of us were then sent to York to join the 1st 6th Battalion. 1st 6th. And I went to Strensel camp. And then I took part in firing the real live ammunition.
And Strensel camps where the
outside
York.
Was. No, they were stationed in York. We were in schools, chapels, all that.
What were these billets like?
A bit rough, but there was plenty of food, and he wasn't harassed by NCOs or anything. He was treated more or less like a civilian. There wasn't that discipline.
When you first got to York and joined the first six, did anyone comment on your appearance and age, or were you just taken as
No, just taken in. And the Leeds Rifles were there as well. The Leeds, 7th and 8th Battalion of the Leeds were also at York at the time. So it were full of territorials. We went round Roundtree's factory. We just had so many at a time, and you could always have a few chocolates, and it was a nice afternoon.
The accommodation, what was your bedding like in these schools up there?
The polyas on the floor, and just blankets, no sheets, and a pillowcase, and I think that was just a plain one. That's why there was so much of that skin disease passed around.
Which one?
At one time. Just let me think now.
Impetigo?
That's it, yes. In the armpits and in the part, like a itching thing. No, it wasn't impetigo, that's a facial thing, isn't it?
Oh, yes.
This was body. I can't recall that. Nearly all camps had it.
Did you get it while you were in New York?
No. The reason, I think, was that I took care, and I used to shake the blanket. Go to the window and give a shake it every day. And on the pillar I put a towel, a dry towel. And of course we'd been then re-equipped with all we wanted. Packs.
I'll ask you about the kit you got, yeah. So how many of you would there be in a room in these billets?
Oh, anything from 4 or 5 up to 10 or 12, according to the size of the room.
Did you move about a lot while you were in York, or did you just have the one place?
Just one place.
Do you remember where exactly it was?
I think it was in somewhere near Whitmer-Watmergate. Somewhere out that way.
Now, you said there was plenty of food. What was the food like? Can you remember what food you got?
There was plenty, but it wasn't cooked enough. The meat and potatoes sometimes were underdone. There were plenty, but it wasn't properly cooked. You see, they weren't trained cooks, so they were just volunteers. Chap, are you any good at cutting vegetables? Can you... cookhouse. That was it. Not like today, of course. They're all trained, aren't they? Properly trained.
What would you get for breakfast? Can you remember what you got for each meal at that time?
There was some porridge. Some very thick, sticky stuff. There was some sugar on it. Then you got some bread. Bacon. And tea. It was enough for what you wanted, I suppose.
And then dinner?
Generally stew. Potatoes, carrots and meat all in one big container. An onion or two in it, probably.
And what about tea and supper?
Bread and jam or cheese. Or generally jam, bread, cheese.
That'd be tea, wouldn't it?
Yes, tea and there were no supper. You had to find your own. You have to bring the big dixies with tea and you could... It wasn't right hygienic, you know, to dip your mug in. Everybody.
Was it as good the food as you've been used to? I mean, you've been used to home cooking and it was one of your family's principles about food. Did you...
We're different altogether.
Did you mind it or did you get used to it?
Well, I saw the others eat it, so I thought, well, here goes. And that was it.
Didn't do you any harm then?
No, I thrived on it, I think. No.
Now, you mentioned kit. You'd had your uniform issued. What kit was issued when you got to York? Or before you got to Europe.
I gave you towel, underwear, further issue of socks, housewife, that was a container with thread, needle, darning needle and wool, everything necessary to sew your buttons on and repair your socks and all that. And then there was knife, fork and spoon, mess tin, there was a shaving brush, open razor, I didn't shave, open razor, it's alright, I'm not moving, I'm just itching this. Then there was, what was the other one? I think we only got just the kit sufficient what you wanted. It wouldn't be a field kit. Just sufficient for what you want.
Did you have kit inspections?
Yes.
Mm. How were they run?
Well, everything had to be placed at the foot of the bed and then come round and examine look at each article, and if it was wanting replacement, the quartermaster would make a note of it, and later on you'd go to the quartermaster's store and you'd have it exchanged. Yes, they did, I think, under the circumstances, they did as well as they could for us. Of course, the civilians supplied quite a lot of stuff. Balaclava, scarves, gloves.
But not surely then. Were you getting them already?
They were beginning, yes. They were knitting, beginning to give stuff out then from the local welfare organisations.
Now, you were now in a barracks. How did you get on with the lack of privacy? Or was it from being from a big family, did it not affect you?
Didn't bother. Nobody bothered. It was just a matter that whatever they put in front of you, or whatever you wanted them, or thought they wanted you to do, you did. You didn't. Well, your idea was, I'm training to be a soldier, so they must know who's training is the best for us.
Now, this training, you said, did you all go from the billets in York to Strensel Camp, or each day, or how did your training work while you were at York?
We went marching. We went marching more or less to get used to covering long distance. And then we went to Strensel two or three times.
How were the route? We'll talk about the route marches first then. How were they organised? How many would go off on it?
All battalion. With a band. They'd go out and round the outskirts of York. Not through York, on the outskirts. And so many miles a day.
Any
and then they extended it.
Any idea how many?
Five or six. And then they extended it until they got 9 or 10 probably. And you got your boots made pliable, and you got used to it, and carrying the weight on here as well, and a rifle. And
were there any tricks of the trade about, as a soldier, about marching? I mean, to get your boots pliable, to get them.
Yes. They used to urinate in them. Leave it overnight and then throw it out next morning. Because it was absolute the best leather going, those boots.
Did you try that?
No, I was lucky, it didn't bother me. I'd always been fairly active. I used to walk miles, five or six of us used to have walked to Kirksall Abbey from Bradford and back when I was about 12 years old or 13.
So you didn't have to bother?
No, I had no trouble. Kept them well cleaned and that, and they were all right.
Would you stop on the marches? I mean, would it be a regular
every hour.
Rest?
You'd 10 minutes every hour, 50 minutes march, then 10 minutes fallout.
What would they do in the fallout?
Well, if there was any grass, you used to lie down or sit down or whatever you felt. You were all right. You could fall out. No trouble.
Now, were you allowed to sing? On the, you had a band with you.
Yes.
You could sing?
Yes, you could. Mm. They encourage you to sing as loud as you... Well, some were religious song. Some were Tipperary, as you'll realise, and whatever were being brought up to date by the songwriters, Home Fires Burning and all that. Yes, you used to let it rip at top of the voices.
Were there any of the ruder or more sarcastic songs at that stage, or were they to come later in the war?
They came later, but I don't know. I don't ever realise we sang anything like that over here. I don't think so. No.
So that was the route marches.
Yes.
What other training would you have while you were at York?
What they called extended order, an artillery formation.
Could you tell me what those are they the same thing or?
Well, you go into the out into where the training area was.
Was it at Strensall?
Yes, and you went in two together. The company would be split, one there and one there, and then the officer would be leading here, and he'd blow his whistle, extended order. So what then, this party went out there, this went out here, this went out there, and went out there, and they were ready for the attack. See, this was called artillery formation, and extended order was the attack, and then you got training with running and dropping as fast as you could and taking cover and all that. Mind you, it was hard work. It wasn't easy. Running with full kit.
Do you have any mock battles while you were there? Or
no. None.
So it was just the sort of actual formations and the skills of taking cover and stuff?
Yes, it was field, what they call field training. We had instructions on a little map reading.
How was that done?
Well, the NCO would have a map. I think we knew as much about it, probably as he did. But he'd been told to give you some instruction and then have a coloured map. And there'd be outlines of hills and all that, and try to describe what you had to look for. A hill or a wood or whatever there was, and try and think in your own mind where you were in comparison to a bigger one. It wasn't as good a map reading as they get today, nowhere near. What they want the skilled people to give it to us.
What about rifle shooting? Did you get that at Strensall?
Yes, I had quite a lot there.
Could you tell me about that, how they went about training you in actually shooting the thing? And
well, you were lined up away from the shooting position, and you never allowed near where the shooting men were until it was your turn to go there, and they'd been brought back. And there were NCO at each side. You'd be marched up. That's the butt you had to fire at. And you'd be then given the ammunition. You'd be told to take up firing position, and that meant you got down on your stomach and got your rifle ready, and then you'd be told when the butts were ready for you to fire into them. And you got the order, fire at your own time, and then you get your sight going and off you go.
How many shots would you fire?
About 10.
So you'd have to reload as well?
Yes, you could put 10 in, but if you reloaded 5, it was better, you got more used to it, so you reloaded 5. You could get 15 in, the new ones.
These were Lee Enfields?
Yes, you get 15 in those. I think it was 10 on them, Mickford, I'm not sure. So,
how did just to pick up some points? You practiced lying down. You didn't practice standing up at all.
No, it was all lying down.
Did you find the position that they wanted you to take? Were they strict about it being your feet exactly right?
Or yes, your feet had to be a certain angle.
Did you find that
one out that way and one this way?
Did you find that natural, or did you want to lie your own way?
No, I found it the easiest way. Spread out. And the signal back, you see, each shot that put up, this.